Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, it is Anton time. I'm delighted to say that means Anton Savage is here with some news stories that you may or may not have missed throughout the week. Hello, Anton. How are you?
I'm very good, Dave. How's life with thee?
Oh, shut up. Just keep going. Go on. Give us a story, will you?
Well, I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's a trend. This whole lockdown thing is bringing out an extraordinary trend of stupidity among motorists. Because if you follow the Garda Info Twitter feed, they are arresting a lot of people in cars for doing things that, whatever about the recklessness of them, you have to sort of look and say, really? Did you think about that even briefly? So there was an arrest last week of a person who was driving a car through the centre of town while drinking.
Dublin town.
I don't mean right. As in they had a few drinks and then they went driving. I mean, they had a can of beer in the cup holder and they're driving through the centre of town. Now, obviously it's a reprehensible thing, but you look at them and you think, surely for a moment you considered the fact that the only people who are on the roads are the Gardaí and they're stopping everybody. This was the moment you thought that it would be a good time to go out and drink and drive. But there's a lot of this going on at the moment. There's a man in the US who has been arrested after, by his own description, trying to teach his dog how to drive.
Yeah, dogs, they can drive. I mean, there is a thing about... seriously, there is a thing about dogs driving, isn't there? I mean, like, I don't know. People teach dogs to drive.
Teach dogs to do remarkable things. And I think if you are in very controlled circumstances, you might be able to teach a dog to steer a bit. But to maintain the kind of attention that requires it to drive around...
Well, hold on. Two things here. I presume it wasn't a Dachshund or a Chihuahua or something, right?
It was a pit bull.
Oh, as a pit bull. Oh, okay, fair
pit bull,
enough.
Yeah, odd choice. I would have thought a collie would be the way to go.
Yeah, no, right. I mean, pit bulls not necessarily, like, they're not huge in terms of sitting in the seat and hitting the pedals. By the way, was it an automatic or pedally thing? I mean, a gear thing?
The reports didn't specify, but I'm going on the basis of statistical probabilities from the US. I'm going to say the chances are that it was an automatic, because pit bulls are quite small dogs, so I can't see them reaching
exactly.
Much.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Do you know the other thing? There's a man by the name of Stanley Korn. Stanley Korn.
Yeah.
He's written a book called, many years ago, called The Intelligence of Dogs.
Right.
And he's gone through all the various different dog breeds, from the most intelligent to the most stupid, and rated them. Pit bulls do not do well on the overall intelligence scale. If you want a very bright dog, you want a Labrador, a Golden Retriever, a Poodle, German Shepherd, or a Collie. They're the really bright ones. But what he's interesting about is he says it's often a huge mistake to get a bright dog. And what he says is, if you get a bright dog, let's say you've got a Golden Retriever, and you go out in the morning, you put the dog in the back garden, and you go to work. By the time you get home, the dog will have been bored out of its mind, and it'll have chewed its way through your fence and dug holes in your garden. He says if you get a bulldog, the dog is so stupid that if you go out in the morning, by the time you come back, and this is a direct quote, by the time you come back 8 hours later, the dog will only just have worked out that you've left and will have remained calm all day. If you want a dog as a placid pet, get a bulldog. If you want to teach one of them to drive, at least pick a poodle or a German Shepherd. Pit bulls are not the way to go. The trooper who stopped him was a woman called Heather Axman. She said, I wish I could make this up. I've been a trooper for 12 years now. I have never heard this excuse. I've been in a lot of high-speed chases. I've stopped a lot of cars, and never have I gotten an excuse that they were teaching their dog how to drive, because it wasn't like he was puttering around slowly. It was a high-speed chase, and he managed to hit two cars while they were trying to stop him, and they only got the car stopped with spike strips. And when they went up to it, when they went up to it, the owner was in the passenger seat, and the pit bull was at the wheel.
And
it's a weird time, Dave.
No, I need to know something. Can the pit bull drive?
Not very well.
Right.
I mean, he clearly did better than you would expect a pit bull to do, but I think we're a long way away from the point at which assistance dogs are going to be driving you home.
And was your man's feet on pedals? Because you still need pedals of some sort. Or was it the pit bull's paws?
Well, now, Dave, there comes a point where in responsible broadcasting, I'm not sure that we should go through the full instruction of how to let your dog drive. I have more on the weird stuff that's going on at the moment. Are you familiar with the 5G thing?
Well, I mean, I know what's going on and I know what it is, but I mean, no, not familiar. I mean, you don't ask me like to give a 12-point lecture about it.
No. I don't mean in the sense of, are you familiar that there is a thing called 5G, which is the latest in mobile technology being rolled out? around the world. I mean, are you familiar with the theory that says 5G is causing the coronavirus?
Oh, absolutely. Of course. Yeah, we all know that. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why Huawei, or whatever you pronounce it, has been kicked out of every country, isn't it? Oh, maybe not.
Well, in proof that humanity is doomed, this has actually gained a lot of purchase around the world. There are message boards all of the way across the internet. There are people putting up posters saying 5G caused this, we need to stop 5G. There are videos circulating of people going up to workers in the street and abusing them for installing fiber optic cable. Who knew that installing fiber optic cable would be such a risk? And at the peak of it, a crowd over in the UK set fire to a 5G antenna, and a Sussex radio station has been warned for broadcasting conspiracy theories that the pandemic is linked to the rollout of 5G networks. They had a woman on who claimed to be a registered nurse, and without any evidence, because there is no evidence, because it's nuts, said that 5G phone technology in Wuhan was what caused the outbreak of coronavirus and that the world has to stop 5G.
Basically, what you're saying is there's an awful lot of stuff there up on the internet and it's not true.
No, I'm saying that plus there's an awful lot of stuff there on the internet that isn't true. And there's a weird amount of people who will buy this bananas crap. When you look at it, you think nobody could believe that fiber optic cable causes a virus. You discover not only do they believe it enough to announce it on the radio and try to set fire to mobile phone antennas.
Right.
It's indeed a weird world, yeah, Dave.
A weird world indeed. Yes, Anton.
If it gets too much for you, I have a solution.
Great. What's that? Yeah.
I had a solution. It's been closed. A California retreat for wealthy participants, which opened for pandemic exclusion. So you could pay an onboarding health check of between $3,000 and $6,000, where they would swab you and make sure that you were clean. You then come into this oasis of other clean people called the Harbor, where you can live for $6,000 a month and kowtow with the away from the hoi polloi while you avoid the virus. It's been shut down. But it was clever entrepreneurship at the outset.
Yeah, well, when was the outset? Like, if that was in January or something, people might say, yeah, well, that's fair enough. You know, they've been cocooned since then or whatever, that kind of thing, no?
I think it was more recent. I think the notion of saying you can use your... if you look at... Do you remember Boccaccio's Decameron? Seminal plague work. Boccaccio's Decameron was exactly that. It was a whole bunch of rich people who, to escape plague, rented a villa in the Italian hills. And it was a fictionalized version of the stories they told each other. So there is precedent for it, but I think it's regarded as in poor taste.
And I presume it was seen as to be, at the very least, uncool.
Exactly. In other news.
Yep.
The world's oldest living man has just celebrated his 112th birthday.
Oh, I saw that. He's from England.
He is. That is correct. He's a man called Bob Whiten of Hampshire in southern England. He turned 112 last Sunday. And unfortunately, he's doing it in isolation. But it's not bad going. That puts him through a little bit of the First World War, the 1918 flu pandemic, the Second World War, and now COVID-19.
Yeah, so he lived through the last pandemic. I mean, the last big one, and not, as opposed to 2009 and anything at the beginning of the 2000s as well. In other words, the 2008, that killed millions of people.
It did. Yeah. But you know, here's an interesting factoid for you. The SARS pandemic, I was the first person to report on it in Ireland.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah,
was SARS 2009 or 2001?
2001-ish.
Right, 2001-ish, yeah, okay. And you reported on it.
I happened to be in Singapore, Dave.
Right.
And the front of the Singapore Straits Times had pictures of people in face masks and had a big splash story about this new virus that was spreading across Southeast Asia. And I thought, well, that looks like news. So I started ringing news organizations back at home, and one small up-and-coming pirate station called RTE took me on to discuss it live from Singapore.
Wow.
You impressed? Look at me being a grown-up.
A roving reporter. The funny thing is that, well, not funny at all, but what do you call it? You know the way, Trump has been given out for calling this the Chinese flu or the flu from China.
Yeah, the Wuhan virus and all that,
Yeah, exactly, the Wuhan virus. Well, the funny thing is, like, in the Spanish flu, which is the one we're talking about from 100 years ago, like, there was nothing to do with Spain at all. It was absolutely nothing to do with Spain. Like, it was Germany and the UK and France and the US and all of that were probably going to get it or maybe going to get it. But because Spain was neutral, First World War wise, they just said, well, listen, you know, we just call it the Spanish flu. And very unfair, really, because about 70 million people died. In fact, what they said was that it originated from one of the states in America, from Kansas or something like that. I don't know. No idea.
So, well, while we're on the subject of unfair reputations, Florence Nightingale.
Florence, yes. I must say, she's a bit of a beacon and an icon as we speak.
Didn't she? Indeed.
Isn't she the founder of all the best of nurses and all the rest, and the lady with the lamp?
She is, but here's the thing. The reputation that she has for being the lady with the lamp and all that, she is sort of seen as being this terribly kind, caring nurse who held people while they died. Apparently, she was a fairly, you know, solid woman who you didn't mess with. So she wasn't that desperately empathetic when she was doing the ward rounds. But what's fascinating about her is she invented the pie chart.
Did she really?
Yeah. She invented the pie chart. What Florence Nightingale did, and it's interesting in the context of the virus and the way that it's currently being treated. She was in, I think it was Crimean War Hospital, and she was looking at the deaths from infection. And what she did was she made a little circular pie chart of the months. And she, in each slice of the pie, she had deaths from injury and deaths from illness. And she tracked it for a year and used that to go to the British government and campaign for better standards. So actually what Florence Nightingale was brilliant at was less to do with nursing and more to do with documenting public health crises and testing and statistical reporting.
Amazing, because I'm reading a book at the moment about posh people. Not about posh people, really. It's about dead people, actually, about dead celebrities. And she's in the kind of posh section. She grew up in money. Did you know that? I didn't.
I did not know that.
No, there you are.
Why are you reading a book about?
Because I'm going to interview the author.
It's going to be easier than interviewing the subject. In other news, Dave.
Yeah.
A postman has been, a Royal Mail postman has been attempting to spread joy by delivering the mail in fancy dress.
Yeah, whatever.
I knew you'd be cynical about this.
No, I'm not cynical. If he wants to wear fancy dress, fine. Just as long as I get my letters, I don't really care.
No, Dave, I'm going to turn you into a rose-tinted glasses optimist over the course of this lockdown. This man is Joe Matson. Joe is 39. He's worked for the Royal Mail for 4 years, and he has decided that during the lockdown, he is going to lift people's spirits. Now, everybody's going to get their post. You don't need to worry about that. But he is going to deliver it in fancy dress. So far, he has been seen dressed as Little Bo Peep and as a Greek soldier. And he has been telling people on his rounds that they should expect to see more outfits in the coming days.
Well, a Greek soldier, does that mean he has a kind of a, I don't know, a smallish, like a leather skirt and a big sword with him all the time or something?
I assume so, yes. Right. I don't know.
So he's going around with a big sword in his gabbard or whatever one keeps the sword in, and he's going to deliver letters at the same time. Right, okay, fair enough.
Well, I don't know.
No wonder the dogs bark at him.
Look, Dave, it is possible to be a Greek soldier and not be armed. You can still look like a Greek soldier without
an off-duty Greek soldier, yeah. Right. Okay,
exactly. Right. The interesting thing, though, is I would have thought that the classical part of a Greek soldier's outfit was actually the shoes. You know, the leather thong that works up your shin?
Yeah.
That's the only thing he's not allowed to wear. The Royal Mail has said he can do this as long as he continues to wear his ID and his company shoes.
Right. Okay. And Little Bo Peep isn't telling us anything about him. Let's move on.
No. Right. Well, do you know about the Emperor Caligula while we're on this topic?
Didn't he make his horse a something or other?
Yes, he threatened to make his horse a consul to mock the other consulars. Yeah. But Caligula means booties. Caligula's father was a war hero who had led the Roman army through Gaul, and he brought his young son with him through that period. And when the son was about 4 or 5, they made him a little Roman army uniform, which had with it Caligula, little shoes,
fantastic,
little boots.
Didn't
so
know
he
that.
Went for his whole life, he was known as Little Boots, and it drove him mad. He hated it. If you called Caligula, he was likely to kill you for it.
What was his real name?
Oh, he was Tiberius Gracchus Caesar something. He, you know, he was triple barrel and fancy.
Chance in your arm there. Okay, check that up, Google person.
Yeah, he'll be in your book of dead posh people. Yeah, he's definitely dead. He's definitely posh. Have you ever flown a kite?
I kind of tried one once on Bettystown Strand when I was a kid, yeah.
now that I think about it, I can't. This is like you doing the aerobics. I can't imagine you out flying a kite. It's good to know that you once did, even if it was as a child. How high do you think you got it?
How high is a Chinaman and all those jokes? I don't know, maybe 100 feet. Maybe it did work for a while. And then it came down very quickly.
Ha, that is as nothing. Because right. A man in Canada is seeking federal approval to set a new world record for kite flying. Guess how high he's aiming for.
Oh, 5,000 feet.
Higher.
20,000 feet.
Yes.
Really? He's going to go up in a plane and stick it out the window, is he?
Just for future reference, Dave, the way this game works is you make incremental guesses.
Oh, sorry, 7,000, 9,000, 11,000. This is like Marty on the thing, you know, like will it be under 20? And he takes the flap
exactly.
down, you know, on the money programme on Saturday and he goes, oh, okay, so 29,000. Go on, say lower.
Lower.
Okay, anyway, so 20,000 feet. So he's in an airplane sticking a kite out the window, is he?
No, it has to be from the ground and it goes all the way up. So right. Now.
What ground?
The ground, Dave. The one that is currently supporting us all.
All right, okay. Not the top of Mount Everest or something, because that's people... Oh, no, go on, yeah.
Well, no, I don't know the Guinness record rules around this, but I am assuming that the flight does not have to commence at sea level, that it is altitude above the launch flight counts.
What kind of worms have I opened? Will you go on? Go on. Okay, so what's he doing?
You know, this is you know, this is the thing with Everest as to whether or not it's the highest mountain.
Oh, sure. Well, it isn't, is it? It's K something or other, 2 or 9 or whatever.
Well, my understanding of this is that Everest is the highest above sea level.
Ah.
But that there is, maybe it's K2, is higher because you start below sea level.
So By the way, K9 is the dog. I forgot that.
Do you know the other thing about Everest?
No, I don't, actually.
It's like Phil Lynott. Everybody pronounces it wrong.
All right, okay, so it's Everest, no?
It's Everest.
By the way, that's not correct. When Phil Lynott was in here one night, I said, listen, just let's get the name thing right. And he said, Dave, what do you call it? Is it Lynott or Lynott? I said Lynott. He said, well, Lynott it is. He never gave a damn.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that he like his mother.
Well, that's like true. His mother was Lynott. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yes.
That was just the evidence of his respect for you, Dave. He was willing to be called whatever you wish.
This must be it. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the current record for kite flying is 16,000 feet.
Like, so you have a piece of string that long or whatever, or a piece of whatever it is, yeah? Really?
No, you tie it to your head and stand really tall. Yes, of course you've got a piece of string.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Now you're talking. Okay. What they did it in Australia, they towed an entire trailer full of winch equipment. They had, I think, something the order of 20 kilometers of line, because obviously it doesn't go straight up, it goes at an angle. And they managed to get a kite to 16,000 feet. I was A, hugely impressed by this, and B, slightly baffled as to why anyone would bother their arse. But there is now a man in Canada who is setting out it's a guy called Adame Karam, I think is his name. He is going to try to break this record and hit 20,000.
Is it a danger to low-flying aircraft?
If they are flying below 20,000 feet, yes. Which is why he has to go to the Canadian whoever the hells and appeal to be allowed to do that. On the subject of aircraft, have you seen what the airlines are having to do at the moment?
Well, there's a lot of things having to do at the moment. But what's the one you've got?
Well, I just thought it was interesting that because if you want to keep your aircraft current, you can't just, it's not like your car. You can't park it outside your gaff, take the tax off it and leave it there for a year or two. You have to fly it at least once a month to keep the aircraft current. Otherwise, it goes into a different category of long-term storage and it's very expensive to get them back. So all the way around the world, airlines are taking flights out of airports, doing a big circle, landing back, getting into the next plane, up it goes, big circle, landing back, just to keep the planes fresh.
I didn't know that. In fact, what I do know is that we've run out of time, Anton. I'm sure you had loads of, you can keep these stories and then the next ones for next week. That's if they're still relevant.
Of course they will, Dave. These are not, as you may have noticed, time sensitive.
Your man with the kite is up there in the mountain waiting for approval. All right, listen, thank you very much, Anton. Good man yourself. Stay safe.
Thanks, Dave.
Good luck.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.